yesterday. The Lord's presence and His Spirit was there very, very strong. And Brother Jeremy Jenkins was ordained to the full work of the ministry, and he'll be going to Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church in Greenfield, Indiana, just outside of Indianapolis. And we had a wonderful time yesterday. Brother Saylors was in Belize on one of the trips that I was there, and we were blessed by him and his preaching there in Belize. And so I want everybody to pray for him today as he stands here. He's got his family with him, and I'd like for them to stand up if they would, and we'd like to introduce them. His wife, Julie, and his daughter, Nellie, and his mother, Pauletta, and then his son, Timothy, and Hannah. So we were just really happy to have all of you all. I want everybody to feel at home. We see a lot of young people here today and a lot of visitors. Is there anybody here that's here for the first time that's not been here before, not ever been to this church? Well, we still like to recognize some of our visitors. So if you're not a real regular visitor here, could you stand up and tell us who you are? We'd like to know who some of these young people are.
Thank y'all for having us. I've preached here at this church before, and I can feel the Spirit here today. I feel it through the Spirit. I don't want to get to preaching and take up none of Brother Saylor's time, but the Spirit is here. He's flowing freely. I've been praying for that to happen, and I have felt it since I've stepped in this building today. So thank y'all for welcoming us as well.
Yep. God bless you, and let's do remember her in our prayers, and we're sure glad to have you here with us today. God bless you.
Good morning, everyone. It's a great honor and pleasure be able to go to the Lord's house, ain't it? I'm thankful for the liberties that we have in this country, the freedom to do that, and I pray that you've come to worship the Lord today in spirit and in truth, that He'll let us all come together in one mind and one accord. As Brother Armfield said, I can feel the Spirit here, and I'm thankful for that, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And if there's any preaching done today, I need liberty. But not only that, I need the help of Jesus. I need God to help me today to free it up in a way that it can be understood by the smallest child here. Now, I'm probably not used to, y'all probably ain't used to any type of preaching like I am. Most of my preaching is done in a nursing home are in a jail over at Allen County, and I'd ask y'all to pray for us tomorrow night. I've got a few brothers that will be going to the jail in Allen County over there, Brother Travis Garner and Brother Matt Reeves, and I hope a few more can go because I won't be able to go tomorrow night. But please remember that work that's going on over there. I thank God that he opened the door that allows us to go in there and preach the gospel. We've seen people saved in there. We've seen them come under conviction, and the Lord humble them down and them seek the Lord until they know that they know that God saved their soul. That's what we believe as Old Time Missionary Baptist. We believe in you praying. If you need to come to this altar up here, you come on. You ain't going to bother me a bit. If God's telling you to go somewhere else, you go where the Lord's directing you, and he'll meet you there. I can tell you that with full surety from his word, and I can tell you that because of an experience I had as a 12-year-old boy on July the 21st of 1985. When I went to Maysville Missionary Baptist Church, they were starting revival. I wasn't wanting to go to church, but my family, thanks be to God, they made me go to church because they knew the importance of going to church and hearing the gospel. Now, when I got to church that night, I was fine. I was a 12-year-old boy that loved being outside, running them hills and hollers there in the country. I was okay with just not going to church, but they told me I had to go, so I went. Because I knew the option, if I didn't go, I would go anyway with a sore backside. So as I went to church that night and I got to church, I was fine. Everything was right between me and God. Now I want you to look upon your own heart here today and think about your condition that you stand before God if you was to draw your last breath today. But that night when I got there, about the second or third song of the service, I was sitting on the right-hand side of the church by the window over there, the Lord told me I was lost. Right then and there, God became real and hell did too, because I knew that I was going to stand before God one day when I drew my last breath. But as I sat there and they went to the Lord in prayer, I tried to pray, and it just got worse. The godly sorrow that worketh repentance has come upon me from God above, and it got worse for me. And then Brother Gerald Cherry got up to preach, and all I remember hearing him preach that night was that one day after a while, God was going to call an end to time. Jesus Christ was going to split the eastern sky, and when he did, that the rocks and mountains couldn't hide me from an almighty God. I was in so much trouble sitting there. I was trying to cry out to God. In my heart, I was crying out to him. But I wasn't where the Lord wanted me yet. I hadn't made my way to that altar. See, he done told me to go, but I didn't want to bother the preacher. So I want to tell you today, you won't bother the preacher. You just come on and seek. If you need to seek the Lord wherever you're at, you seek him. But that night, as they give an altar call, I made my way up. About 2 foot from the end of that end of the altar there at Maysville, I bowed and I cried out to God. There probably wasn't a word one come out of my mouth that you could have understood with an audible ear. But let me tell you, in my heart, I was crying out for God to save me. And I got to the end of that praying. I prayed everything I could. I probably bargained with him. I probably told him everything I'd done wrong that I could remember. But God wasn't looking for that. He was just looking for me to get to the end of myself, to where I had to rely on him and what his precious son done. We sang about that blood a while ago. He shed that blood for me. And then God granted me the faith to trust in him. Because as I went to that altar, I didn't have that faith to trust in God. But he gave it to me. And as Brother Moran, I know y'all know him. And he means a lot to me and my family. But as I've heard him say many times, it's by grace through faith plus nothing else. That's what saved me that night. And as I come up off of that altar, I didn't tell nobody. They'd already dismissed. There was a lot still there. And my aunt and uncle's back there today. They was there that night. But you know, when I come up, I didn't tell nobody. I just went home. And I went to sleep. Got up the next day. A lot of y'all have heard my testimony, but this is all I got. And I'm going to die with it. And you'll die with yours, so you better be trusting in the Lord with it. But as the next day as I got up, I either went to the garden, the tobacco patch, or the hayfield. That's where my childhood was, and I thank God for it. But as I went there, wherever they told me to go, whatever we was doing that day, and then Granny was cooking that afternoon before day services. They had afternoon and night services in. And as she was cooking, I walked in her back door by her stove, and I was my granny's only grandson. I walked in, I looked at her, I said, Granny, I believe I got saved last night when I went and prayed. She looked me straight in the eyes. She didn't bless my heart. She didn't shed a tear. She said, that ain't good enough. And you know what? It still ain't good enough. Thinking you're saved is not good enough. It's a no-soul, heaven-sent, heartfelt salvation that you need to have today before you draw your last breath. Now, I guess I'm going to come and preach Jesus, but that's what the Lord gave me last night in the tractor. As I was bush hogging, I asked God to help me and give me somewhere to jump off with. And if He'll help me, we'll go there in just a minute. But I want to finish this. As I got there that day and I told Granny that just aggravated me. And I went home across the field. My daddy was in good health. He was in poor health. And he was shaving up the right side of his face, getting ready to go to church. I walked in and I wanted somebody to tell me I got saved. I wanted somebody to tell me I was all right. So as I looked at Daddy, I said, Daddy, I think I got saved last night. He said, son, that's not good enough. He said, you go back praying and the Lord will let you know. So I'm going to tell you today, sinner friend, if you're here and you don't know, you go back asking the Lord and He'll let you know. God is not the author of confusion. My son has quoted that scripture since he was a little boy. But he's not the author of confusion, but he will tell you, but you better be prepared for the answer. Because God won't change His mind just because you're a good little boy or a good little girl. Or because mama or daddy one has told you that. If you've been pricked in your heart, if that gospel message has pierced, dividing asunder a soul and spirit, as it says over there in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, then you're forever lost until God tells you you're forever saved. That's what we believe, that's what we preach, and that's what we rely on, is the Lord to let you know. I don't want to be around anybody. We tell them at the jail, don't trust what anybody tells you. You go with what God's told you. Because that's what you're going to die with. You won't die beside me or another preacher, and we won't be able to stand there with you on judgment. You'll stand before Him by yourself. So if you know that you have a friend in Jesus, we sang that song a whole lot. If you know Him on a free pardon of sin, and you know you have a time and place, that young lady said out there on the steps is her place. That place on that altar is my place. If you just got to know that you have a time and place, that God saved your soul, that He gave you peace, you must know that. Well, we've gotten a habit, I guess, over the years, people say, well, you need to be saved. No, it's more than that. You must be saved. If you're going to heaven, you must be saved. You must have that time and place experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all pray for me. I'm just going to try to go the way He wants me to go. And when He gets done with me, I'm going to sit down and the Lord will just, He'll fill up the rest of the service the way it needs to be. Y'all pray for me, though. I need them. I guess I should tell you, a lot of you don't know, but nothing bragging and boasting on me, but come November, I've been trying to preach for 16 years. The Lord has blessed me, taken me a lot of places. He's opened doors to stand before a congregation of people. Not only that, but student bodies of a graduating class at Allen County over there in Jamaica before a bunch of kids in a Catholic school. Now, you want to be humbled down, you just ask God. If He's called you to preach, you just say, God, take me where you want me to go. And, buddy, He'll do it. He'll take you places that you'll never dream of, and He'll stand you up, and all I want to be is wrung out like an old dish rag when I get done. That's all I want this morning is for the Lord to be satisfied with me. I've got a good preacher friend that has a great opportunity tonight to conduct a Bible study at a sober living house, Brother Travis Garner. Y'all pray for him. That could be a great door opened up right there for the gospel to continue on. See, we preach the truth. We preach that God is the truth. And we don't preach a muddied up salvation experience. We let you know that God tells you you've been saved by the grace of God, not man telling you, and you don't get it. And I'll try to get to my scripture here in a minute. You don't get it a little bit at a time. God don't give you a little bit of peace and then tell you, well, come back and I'll give you a little more. No, He does it all at once and He does it forever. And it's sealed, it's done, and thanks be to God, we don't hold on to it. Thanks be to God, it don't take us. It's not by works, lest any man should boast, is what it says there in the second chapter of Ephesians. And I'm thankful it's that way. Y'all pray for me. I'm going to be reading out of the ninth chapter of Matthew, if the Lord will help us this morning. And I'll start with the first verse. Ninth chapter of Matthew. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, and said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Stopping right there with the mistakes I made, that's reading the 9th chapter, verse 1 through 13. Again, y'all pray for us as we try just to go the way the Lord would have us to go, and I'll just try to explain to you the way the thought come to me. I can't preach like anybody else. I just got to preach the way the Lord give it to me. But I am thankful this morning as I got up and was making my coffee and sitting there just trying to talk to the Lord a little bit this morning. I'm thankful for our forefathers that have gone on before us. I'm thankful that we have this way, this old-fashioned way, that we know is the only way to get to the Lord is through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful not only for that, but the examples that's been set before me of the other preachers, the old preachers that have preached the truth, and they've tried to show us a way to conduct ourselves. But not only them, those men and women that has been given a servant's heart by God above, that have went far beyond what we expect of them, but they went further to help people, to let them know that Jesus loves them, that God loves you, and you don't have to die and go to hell. It's not His will that you die and go to hell. He wants all men to come to repentance according to His word. But I just want to thank God this morning for the examples that has been put before me. But as I was bush hogging last night after we got in from the ordination that Brother Collins was talking about, and went over there and was bush hogging and just asking the Lord what He would have me to preach on. You know, I don't want to come and preach what I've studied to a point to show you how smart I am. If you listen to me, I can prove to you very quick that I'm not an educated man. I weld for a living, but thanks be to God, I can take you to a time and a place up there. It was a tobacco patch at the time as I was spraying tobacco. The boom was to the right-hand side of the tractor. As I was going down the tobacco patch there spraying tobacco, it was me, a 4600 Ford tractor, and an Australian Shepherd dog. I don't have the dog no more, and I don't have the tractor, but I can take you within inches of where I was at when the Lord said, you go preach. My word, I can take you to that spot. I'm blessed to own that spot on a little farm over there in Allen County, and I'm blessed to lay my head down about halfway between that spot and the spot where the Lord saved my soul that night on July the 21st of 1985. So if I lose everything I own, I can tell you that I'm a blessed man. Brother Sampson talked about being blessed in Sunday school, being happy. I can tell you that they can take everything that I own, but they cannot touch my salvation. That soul has been sealed until the day of redemption by God above. He wrote it down up there, and I'm thankful that we don't hold on to it, as I said a while ago. But as I went about bush hogging last night, and I just asked the Lord just to help me, just give me a thought. And our thought would be, is your call light on? You know, we go to the nursing home quite a bit. We've been in hospitals down through our life. I've been blessed with good health. I've not had to stay in a hospital on my own, but I've had family that's been in the hospital. And you know, when you're a patient in a hospital, they'll give you that little button, and they'll say, if you need anything, you push the button, and somebody will come help you. You know, as I thought about that last night, as I was bush hogging and just praying and asking God, my daughter called me. She, my oldest daughter, she's working in Louisville now at a nursing home this morning. And as she called, she was talking to me. There's a patient up there. It's a Catholic nursing home. And she won't let my daughter come in there and help her, because Kylie told her, she asked her what she believed, what her beliefs was, and Kylie told her, and she went to, told the ones, the lady in there said, I don't want her coming to help me. She's not of my faith. I don't want her coming to help me. And as Kylie told me that last night, the Lord brought that back to my mind. Your call light, is it on? And as I thought about that, you know, you may be out there today. You may be wondering where you stand with God. He may have already told you you're lost. You may have been looking for a really eloquent, well-spoken preacher to come and tell you you're okay. Well, you're not at the right place. I'm not going to tell you you're okay. That's between you and the Lord. You have to ask Him whether you stand all right with God. That righteousness, as I read a while ago, that He came not to heal the ones that was healthy, the ones that was whole. He came to heal them that are sick. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And when you come to that spot in your life that you realize that you're a sinner before an almighty God, God has told you you're lost and undone, and you need to be saved. You have to ask Him to help you at that time. Now, that night when the Lord told me I was lost, this is a very elementary message, I know, but that's all I can preach, is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But I tell you what, that night when He told me I was lost, I knew I was lost. I'd heard enough gospel. I didn't know, I couldn't quote a scripture to save my soul. I couldn't have told you how many books was in the Bible. I couldn't have named all the prophets. I couldn't have done all that, but God don't require that. There's people out there that will deceive you, and they'll tell you, if you'll repeat this prayer, if you'll just come and you'll bow and you'll repeat this prayer, that God will give you peace. That's a lie from Satan himself. That does not happen that way. You do not get saved because you repeat a prayer after somebody. That sinner's prayer be between you and God. He'll let you know how to seek Him, how to feel after Him, though He be not far from any of us, is what it says over there in Acts. And I believe it's still to be true. Just like that man, I think it's in the 5th chapter of John. I ain't got it marked, but I'll turn over there. I'm pretty sure that's where it's at, but let me find it. I'm not a quoter, but I know where it's at. If God will help me. Yes, there it is, the 5th chapter of John. It's talking about there that man that was beside the pool of Bethesda. And what did it say? It said, when the water was troubled there, that the first one to get in, and I'll paraphrase it, in the 4th verse there it says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity of 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made clean? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth thou before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. You know, they criticized our Savior for saving people, for doing miracles on the Sabbath. They tried to trip Him up and to say He wasn't the Christ. I'm thankful that God can save anybody, anywhere, anytime. There's no day that restrains God from saving. Then I'm asking you today, do you stand accountable before Him? Do you know that heart is not right with God? Do you know that God has knocked at your heart and let you know that you need to be saved? I don't care how old you are. For some people, it comes at a young age. For some people, it don't come till they're older. But that's between you and God. But I will tell you, upon the authority of God's Word, once He tells you you're lost, you're forever lost until He tells you you're forever saved. You got to have that broken heart and contrite spirit that it talks about. I think it's in the 34th chapter of Psalms. I'll turn over there and read it. I'm pretty sure that's where it's at. I know y'all probably used to preachers being able to quote it, but I don't have that gift, so I'm just thankful God helps me find them. 34th chapter, the 18th verse, it says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." That contrite spirit, if you go back to the Greek and the Hebrew, dake ruach, and I probably mispronounced that, but it's talking about a beaten out spirit. It's talking about God crushing your spirit. I can tell you today, you will not come to God and find Him precious to your soul as a prideful person. You have to come just as Jesus set that little child up on His knee. He said, "Come unto as a little child." You have to come relying, knowing that you have to rely on Him, that your help is before God for the salvation of your own soul. All you have to do is meet those conditions of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and honey, He gives you them too. He lets you know that He has broke that spirit. He let me know as a 12-year-old boy, I had pride. I didn't want to cry in front of people. I'd already went. I didn't tell you all that part, but I'd already went before the Lord ever told me I was lost. I'd heard people talk about getting saved at home by the bed. I'd heard them talk about getting at the barn and getting saved, going off in the holler in the field. I went everywhere trying to find God, but I wasn't lost till God told me I was lost. And you won't be lost until God tells you you're lost. That's when you will find Him. Is when He crushes that spirit, when He lets you know that you need to be saved, that's when you'll get saved. It won't be any other way. You won't be able to work it out just because you won't want to come up here to this altar. I'm thankful Brother Collins did what he did earlier when he asked for him to come up. If you knew somebody that you just want to take to the Lord, I'm thankful that God still gives burdens. But brothers and sisters, we need to ask Him to give more burdens for these lost ones. The ones that have bowed over time, that has bowed and they've come up, not telling you whether they've been saved or not. We have to consider them still lost, I believe, until they tell you they know they've been saved. And I ask you just to ask God. I beg you this morning, I implore you, I want you to ask God to give you a burden for somebody, because it ain't going to hurt any of us to lose a little sleep. It ain't going to hurt any of us to turn the TV off at night and open God's Word and read a little bit. But more than that, it won't hurt us to humble our heart before God. He made it easy. A sincere desire of the heart, that's what prayer is. I pray a lot while I'm doing my job, and I'm thankful that I can pray, but I want to pray more. I want to pray for these that are lost. We need to see a great revival. One of these days, He's going to call an end to this. I don't know how far out it is. Nobody else does either, but God the Father. But I believe that we're in those last days. I believe it could be at any time. We sung that song earlier. Will you find us watching? Are we watching, brothers and sisters? As the old-fashioned church, are we watching for the Lord to come back? Are we concerned about our family and our friends, these that have not told us? Brother Samson talked about, have you let your light shine? Have you let your light shine before men? I'm afraid many times God will be able to look back over my life and say, you didn't have your light shining. He's going to look back over my life. But I'm thankful that He can humble us down, and He can use us, and He can get something out of us. And I'm thankful that He can do that, because God chose the foolishness of preaching, didn't He? to bring the world to the gospel. He didn't make it of some big elaborate plan. He chose those that are weak to do that, and I'm thankful that He does that. I'm thankful that God is still calling men to preach. I'm thankful that God is still saving sinners. He ain't never saved anybody but a sinner. I don't care how good you think you are. God saved you. You was a sinner. That's all you are, is a sinner before an almighty God. You're either saved by grace or you're still lost. I just ask you this morning, where do you stand with God? Do you know that when you draw your last breath, you draw your last breath, Brother Glasscock passed away. I'm thankful he's where he's been preaching about, I believe, with everything in me. But he drew his last breath, his wife told me, sitting in his recliner. We don't none know when we're drawing that last breath. It's out ahead of us. It's out ahead of us when we'll draw that last breath. I'm thankful that not because of the preaching I've done, not because of anything that I've done good, but because of what Jesus done for me and on what he done for me on July the 21st of 1985, that peace that I have that he put in here, somewhere in here is a soul. I can tell you because I can feel it. Somewhere in here, I have peace with God. This old flesh, it's gonna go back to the dust of the earth. But I'm thankful that peace with God, I know, is going to take me home one day after a while. It's going to take me to my long home, as David said over there. That's where we're going. You know, we're just passing through. Ain't it good that this is not your permanent home? I've been blessed with a home. I've been blessed with a great family and a wonderful helpmate. And we may not have had a whole lot, but I'm going to tell you what. God has loved us, and he helped us to raise our three children in fear and admonition of the Lord above. You know, when the Lord made me a daddy, that's what I started. And I wasn't where I needed to be. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't where I needed to be. I wasn't going to church. I was out in the world. A young lady talked about not being where she needed to be. I can relate to you. I know about it. But you know, when the Lord made me a daddy, I got to praying because I knew one day they'd be lost. If they lived, one day after a while, they'd be lost and they would need to be saved. And then God, he helped us to find a church where they preached and practiced the true way of salvation. When they'll let you come up here and they'll let you pray till you can't pray no more, till you're done praying. That's what you need to do. It's no time restraint on it. I don't know how long you can be lost. I wasn't lost very long. Thanks be to God. He knew I was weak and I wouldn't stay at it, I guess. But he saved me quickly. Once, I don't know how long I bowed and prayed. I just know I got to the end of me. And there was nothing else left in me. And I just asked God to give me the faith that it was needed to trust in him. And that's all he gave me. That's all the message he's given me. I hope it's helped somebody. It feels better now that I'm done preaching it. I'll just tell you, it feels a whole lot better than it did sitting up here. And I love to hear good gospel singing. But when you got the message on you and you're needing to preach, you get pretty glad when they hush and you get to stand up and just tell what God has put on your heart. I'm thankful that God is still good. I'm thankful that he is still in control. This whole world, we get pretty sad and tore up about it, don't we? But God is still in control. He will be the victor at the end. I'm thankful for that. Satan may be winning a bunch of battles now, but he won't win the last one. God already said he's winning the last one. But it's going to come quickly, brothers and sisters. But sinner friend, if you get to the end of yourself, Jesus said that the things that are impossible with men become possible with God. It's still as real today as it was on that day when he told them. And don't do this. I don't want you to go to God trying to reason out how good of a sinner you are. Because recorded over there where they was talking to Jesus, I think in the 13th chapter of Luke, about how... Now, with these over here where this tower of Siloam fell on, were they worse than these others? Let me tell you, once you draw your last breath, you're dead. You're in the same condition as those that was a worse sinner than you. Just go and talk to the Lord about it. Find that prayer closet Jesus talked about. Get in there and shut the world out. Put everything else out of your mind. Ask God to help you to pray, and he will help you. Those of us that have been saved, we can testify to that. That he will save you when you get to the end of yourself. That's all he's given me. Y'all have a song, handshake, every what. I'll turn it back over to Brother Collins. Thank you for your prayers.